Hey, Wanderers, and welcome to our second and final episode of The Black Ballad. Hopefully you've heard our first episode, but as a reminder, this is an actual play of the demo version of the game Black Ballad. If you like what you hear, definitely check them out on BackerKit, link in the description. They've already reached their goal, but more support always means more added to the final product. We had a great time playing, and at the end of this episode, we have a short discussion about the game if you're interested in our thoughts. That should cover everything, so we hope you enjoy our final episode in The Black Ballad.
Last time, your party all arrived in the Sunless Crossing and found out that you are dead. You traveled with a skeletal guide named Johan, who kind of gave you a little bit of a tour, took you to the Atonement Grove, where you got to relive your deaths and ask your reflection some questions. You fought off withstood a whirlwind, a ghastly whirlwind that was chasing you down, and made your way to the junction.
And Mead!
As you enter the junction, you see a gigantic, very spacious room. There's a fire blazing in two different fireplaces, like multi-story fireplaces. These things are huge that go up into the chimneys. There's nice carpet on the floor. There's some tapestries on the walls. It's a very, very nice looking place. It kind of reminds you of a bit of a tavern, but it's the biggest tavern you've ever seen.
All right, now this is living. I mean, you know what I mean.
Finally, this will be a much better place to hang out before we get resurrected.
Definitely.
Johan will kind of guide you over to a table and take a seat with you. As you're sitting there, you see a very much alive-looking human woman approach you with a tray.
How can we tell?
I think you mean not a skeleton.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and she doesn't look dead.
How can we tell?
How do we look dead?
I don't know.
Did we look dead?
Is it corpsey looking? So there's not a zombie walking towards us. I get you.
Right. Yeah. She just looks like a human woman, I guess, is what they're going for with that.
Okay.
She's wearing an apron over a short sleeve tunic, and she has platinum white hair tied up in a bun, and she's got a nice smiley, friendly face. Her eyes are very, very bright green, and her dark brown arms are covered in runic tattoos and blue ink. She sets a full mug in front of each of you and an empty bowl in front of Johan. And Johan acknowledges and says,
"Much appreciated, Kella. These are my new wards. Wards, this is Kella Pern. She runs the place."
"Nice to meet you, Kella."
"Wargs? Did he say wargs? Do we need to fight wargs now?"
Wards.
Wards. Wards.
"It means that we're his babies.
His pups.
He is our new skeleton dad."
"Or is he using, like, wards in the sense, like, we're, like, runic shields for him?"
"Do you know what runic shields are?"
"That's my man."
"I'm not your man."
"I'm actually quite impressed by that."
"Excuse me, actually, yes, he's not your man."
And she, like, sits on Grofel's lap and goes,
"You're such a smart man knowing about runic shields."
"Oh, thank you, my love."
"Stay away from him. Just because we're dead doesn't mean we're not married anymore."
Sorry, just being friendly.
"You should be sorry."
So as Kella watches this exchange, she kind of smiles at you and she says kind of in a very cheeky tone, she's like, "Anyone ever tell you you don't look so good? But try not to panic there, but I think you might be dead." And then she kind of laughs at her own little joke.
"Excuse me?
You probably give that line to everybody, don't you?"
"Isn't that my clothes make me look dead?"
"No, it's that everybody that comes here is dead. You're new here. I forget that joke doesn't always land quite right. Well, welcome to the crossing. This is my pomegranate ale, but I can get you something different if you'd prefer it."
"This seems great."
My tankard is already gone.
Johan actually picks up his mug and drinks it, but has the bowl under his chin to catch it.
Oh, so that's what the bowl... I get it.
"Oh, that's great, because then you can just pour the bowl back into your mug, and then just back and forth forever."
"Are you actually tasting anything by doing that?"
"That's what I was wondering."
"Not really. I like to pretend. It feels like I can taste it sometimes, but it's just not quite." "I'm sure it is excellent, Kella.
That's sometimes I pretend to be a human because it makes other people more comfortable around me, even though I am a wolf.
Johan, I mean this as someone who lives life without any pretense and in much introspection and completely understanding who I am. You need to accept that you are a skeleton. That's what you are. And we love you for that.
Hear, hear. She, like, toasts with her mug.
Kella will, like, kind of look at you guys again and say,
well, y'all are very welcome to hang out here as long as you need. If you have any questions about the place, just let me know and I'll try to answer them as best as I can.
Are there any places where I could get into, like, a bar fight? Like a rowdy bar fight?
I think we're in a bar, Tove. I think that's here. But don't do it in front of her.
Well, like, I want to, like, smash a mug on someone's face and then, like, scream and start fish fighting.
I mean, I suppose you could, but you just died. Do you want to be getting into fights so quickly?
That's why I died. That's, like, the whole reason that I... Yes!
But then why would you be wanting to go right back into that? Just give yourself some time to kind of relax and kind of rest a little bit.
Gotta get rid of the post-death jitters.
My blood boils for a few things. One of them is my beautiful husband. The other one is fighting. So either I need a room or a fight.
Well, I don't know if I can help you with that, unfortunately.
Is there anyone else, like, in the bar?
Yeah, there's a few other people around. They all seem to be with another of guides like Johan. Not necessarily skeletal creatures like Johan, but definitely seem to be new people here.
If you had to estimate, Killa, how long do people usually hang out here before moving on, one way or another?
Or before you become resurrected?
Here in the crossing specifically? Or not the crossing, what's it called?
Junction.
Yeah, here in the junction specifically, or do you just mean in the sunless crossing?
Both, I guess?
You're just welcome to stay in the junction as long as you like. But most people eventually will move on to the fields and kind of try to address what's left over from their lives, or wait to be resurrected. As for when you'll be resurrected, that's nobody can say. It all depends on what's happened on the living side.
Is, like, the time stream the same speed? You know, like, it feels like it's a week here, but it's really just an hour there. You know, I had somebody, like, tell me about this theory once. I didn't really understand it, but now it seems pertinent.
Oh, that's a good question, because it does feel like we've been here for a while. But I would guess, because obviously we're getting resurrected, I would guess it's not going to take that much time up in, like, the real world.
If I'm being honest, I don't rightly know exactly how time works. Like, I've been here for a long time, but I'm not looking to get resurrected. I'm here to run this place.
And we thank you for it. Ale's delicious.
My wrist sundial says that it has been the same time since we have arrived because there is no sun. So, if there is no sun, there is no time. Question answered.
Wise words from Tove. Thanks.
She doesn't understand any, like, metaphorical thing from what she just said. It's literally like, well, my sundial doesn't work, so there is no time.
Therefore, time is broken.
I want to go up. Can I try to find, like, the scariest looking person in here? Can I roll a perception check for, like, who would be the most dangerous person?
I mean, sure. Go for it.
That is a 15.
So all of the souls that you see here, shell-shocked isn't the right term, but they all definitely look like they're a bit shaken. Like, they're still coming to grips with being dead. Like, there might be a few that are more put together than the others, but Nobody that's in here right now seems to be eager for a fight. Doesn't mean you couldn't start one, though.
She just want to start a fight with someone who looks like they don't want to fight with her.
So, do you have rooms available, or is that, like, a later thing, or is it just, like, a find a nook thing, or...
Find an unmarked door that you think is a speakeasy, but is actually a closet.
That is actually a good question. I don't know the answer to.
I think that means the answer is no.
Yeah, the way it describes this building, it doesn't mention rooms.
I'm guessing that means there aren't rooms. That's fine.
Right.
This is mostly a joke.
Yeah, we don't actually have rooms to stay here. This is more, I guess, a bar and where people can come and get some food and kind of relax. People don't really stay here. Hang on, I'll be right back. And she runs off to and comes back in a minute with a tray with bunches of food, like meats, cheeses, pastries, all kinds of stuff. Now, you don't really need to eat now that you're dead, but a lot of people feel comfort in eating even after they've died. Doesn't hurt you either.
Do you have any living animals?
Unfortunately, I don't at the moment.
She particularly likes owls. It's a delicacy.
I've always dreamed of eating an owl, but I've never gotten the chance.
And you shouldn't get the chance.
I didn't eat her before I died!
You tried to eat her before you died!
Several times, but she was quick!
Yes, because you shouldn't eat her!
Wolf's hunt!
And maybe now she'll get the chance and we win-win! Everybody wins!
Toe, you are not a wolf!
You take that back. I'm a wolf in my heart. I talked to my real self and she said that I was a well-dressed wolf in my heart.
But you can't eat real owls.
I think I just found my bar fight. And she smashes her mug on the ground and just goes, put them up. Put them up. We're doing this.
I'm not going to fight you.
It's because she's afraid of you, darling.
I did not say that.
That's what it is, I'm sure.
Everybody calm down. Let's enjoy these meats. Anybody want these meats? The tequila, tell us about these. These are probably owl parts.
She finds another mug, smashes it, and goes, all right, put it up.
Well, why did you take my mug?
I had already smashed my mug for like the... I had already smashed my mug, so I had to smash another one.
I was
one.
Still drinking that.
Could we get another mug with more of the drink? Two of them,
thank
actually.
You. Johan's probably gonna... Yeah, maybe.
Now, can you please sit down like a person?
You would have won, darling.
She sits back on Grofl and goes, I'll shit like a wolf. And she, like, does little wolf hands.
I'll only get you another cup if you promise not to smash this one.
I won't. I want to drink it.
Why would you not why would you not promise to not smash it when that's what she asked?
Also, how would you order another one without smashing it?
Well, I don't want to smash it.
But you said you wouldn't promise. She said as long as you promise, and you said I won't.
Oh my, I promise I won't smash a mug even though I haven't smashed one.
Oh, so now you're going back on your other... what you just said, so you're being a liar.
You are acting too smart for someone with your intelligence score.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's because of the intelligence score.
What's an intelligence score? I kind of want to play, like, I think it'd be fun to play a person who has a low intelligence score and, like, you know, do the Deadpool thing where they're like, this is a TPRPG, tabletop RPG that we're all in. None of this is real, and they're crazy that way. We're all sheets of paper and dice. What do you mean? Nothing.
So as you're kind of fight, whatever you want, argument.
Squabbling.
As that dies down, Johan will kind of speak up and say, Kella, I noticed that the gargoyle lookouts that normally adorn your building are missing. I'm wondering what's happening there.
Oh, I saw the gargoyle saw some movement on the horizon and went to go check it out.
And at this moment, the doors of the lodge burst open with a thunderous bang. All the other souls in the room cry out and huddle together in fear as a hulking pale gray gargoyle bursts in the doorway. His chiseled physique bears a half dozen bleeding wounds. Kella shouts, "Narok, where is Vika?" Narok groans and manages to eke out, "Vika gone to get help. Undead horde." And then he collapses. Kella rushes forward to kneel by the gargoyle's side, looking out the doorway into the prairie. Past Kella and the unconscious Narok, you see a throng of figures shambling forward through the tall grass. While they may have once been living, breeding humanoids, that was a long, long time ago. The lack of skin on these creatures exposes rotting muscle, viscera, and crimson-tinted bone. Blood drips from long clawed hands as they stare blankly through eyeless sockets in your direction. "Hey, newcomers," Kella calls out to the characters. "I hope you're as dangerous as you look."
Are you talking to the wolf person?
I mean, if we're being honest, she looks like the most dangerous person here.
Tuve jumps up on the table, gets another cup, and smashes it and goes,
Hirosh, oh! Look! An unstoppable horde is here to ruin our afterlives and steal our delicious drinks! Come with me into glorious battle!
And she's already running.
Gorful stands up, smashes his drink on the ground. I will follow.
Here, here! Rana downs hers.
I am so sorry.
Kella jumps up and you see sparks on her fingertips as she traces some runes in the air, and a wall of light materializes between the approaching horde and the junction, kind of surrounding the building. She looks at you and says, "That won't hold them for more than a minute. We better get you kitted up."
"I have two rocks. We are fine." "Oh wait, sorry. Tove, here's a rock. I have one rock." "She has one rock."
She's gone.
And Kella will also cast another spell that gives a like shimmering outline of a couple other figures that you can't quite make out. And she bows her head to them and says, "Sovereign Ashlyn, Arbiter Valen, the junction is under attack." And you hear one of the voices say, "We're en route." And the other one kind of looks at you guys and says, "They can help. Open the vault." And Kella kind of pulls you aside, like stopping you from advancing towards this horde, and ushers you into a large vault whose door seemingly forms out of nowhere. And in here, you can get weapons and armor and anything you need. You can get any, like, simple martial, basically any, like, you can get what you came in with. Nothing too ridiculous. Like, you can't have, like, insane magic weapons.
Cool. I'm going to pick up a buckler or a shield and, what I picked out for my character. So I got a greatsword, a mace, and a javelin.
I got a longsword, a pike, a javelin, and my armor, my chainmail armor, and my shield.
Yeah, the module is written has some more interesting weapons listed, but that's for a high-level party. I'm not giving you that weapon.
That's for if you support their Kickstarter.
Caitlin, if you grab a pike, you should also grab grog, you know, they're kind of a package deal.
Critical role joke.
I'm just grabbing a shield.
I'm going to grab a scimitar and a quarterstaff. Okay, this was a generated character sheet. I'm going to assume there was armor on it because I forgot to write it down. So I'll assume it's like whatever the leather armor is, and grab that too.
Once you guys are all kitted up, you exit the vault, and the door kind of like closes behind you. And that's when Kella's shield drops and we roll initiative.
That was awful.
Yeah, me too. I did terrible.
That one!
Are you serious?
Dang! Well, better than that.
Caitlin, hold my beer.
I got a 12. You know, it's like not great, but it's like also not bad.
Good job, husband.
Thank you, wife.
What did you get, Mandy?
A 10.
Cody, what did you get?
I got a 6.
All right, so as you guys drop into this combat, you see four of these monstrosities, these whites, as they're called. I think they're bloody? Where'd they go? Where'd the name go?
They're whites.
Just whites? Okay, I thought they had an adjective on them.
Oh, bleeding whites.
Bleeding whites. I was like, I knew there was an adjective or something in front of that. There's four of them, kind of up at the barrier first with four more kind of behind. And they're advancing on you. Growful is first.
I would like to go into a rage. This is the first barbarian I've ever played, so I'm like, yeah, like I could do the rage. Okay, I'm going to run up to the first, the nearest one. Is that within 30 feet?
Yeah, you can get there in 30 feet.
Cool, I want to do that. I want to be in a frenzied rage. And then I want to do a relentless attack. Is that relentless? Basically, I get advantage, but they get advantage on to attack me.
Okay.
Actually, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do a normal attack. So I don't have advantage. Oh, golly. I'm assuming a 11 does not hit.
11 will not hit.
All right. So I swing and a miss with my greatsword. That's all I got. I do want to say he picked out the biggest greatsword you can find. Like, it's just like twice the size of a claymore.
So with your miss, you've advanced on these whites. I was going to have them all go at the same time, but that might be a bit too much. Let me actually roll these separately. That works out well. Okay, so two of the whites will turn towards Grolful, who has advanced on them, and they will swipe at you with their bleeding claws. First one is a 23 to hit.
No,
that misses.
second one is, oh gosh, they both rolled really well. Another 23 to hit.
That's fine.
Oof, all right, well.
Let me tell you, you know when someone's like, does anyone care a lot about their characters? And we all said no, I meant that. I made this guy in a half an hour.
And then they almost roll max damage. All right, it's a good thing you have a lot of health.
What type of damage is it?
Poison. Damn. So that'll be 19 poison damage.
Dang!
All right.
I am still standing.
And now we're to Kalesa.
Okay, I'm going to start off by doing... I'm going to do Thorn Whip, and it's a melee spell attack against the target. I'm aiming for whichever one is, like, in front of me. It's like, you said it's like 4 and 4, right?
Yeah, there's kind of 4 in the doorway.
Oh,
with another 4 kind of back.
At the door?
There's 4 in the doorway.
Okay.
Yeah. Because when Kella put her barrier down, she kind of put it on the outside of the building.
Got it. Okay. And Grolful went for 2 of them, right?
Well, Grolful went for 1 of them, and then 2 of them swarmed him.
Got it. Okay. I'll go for one of the ones that's attacking. No, Grolful can handle himself. I'll go through the third one through the door. That is a nat 20.
Okay.
Nice.
So attack hits, 1d6 piercing damage. And that's 2d6 because of the nat 20.
The crit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so that first one's a 4 and a 5. So 9 damage total coming at the third one coming through the door.
Okay. So 9 damage total.
All right. And I don't think I have a bonus action, so I'm done.
Okay. We're up to Tove.
So Tove, seeing... her love be attacked, flies into a rage, and basically what that looked like, she throws all of her furs off, and, like, as soon as she does, she just, like, smoothly the top of her just turns into a wolf. And she just shrieks, "Nobody bites my husband but me!" And just, like, runs forward, like, her long wolf arms, like, just almost dragging on the ground, you know? So this is weird. If I do a claw attack, I can make 2 claw attacks, can make 1 claw attack, then another. I also am doing a reckless attack, so I'm rolling advantage, but I get disadvantage on me for... They get advantage on me attacking me.
Okay.
So that is a... I actually need my character sheet. Oh my gosh. That is a 15 to hit for the first attack.
That will hit.
Okay. So then that's... So that first one does 5 damage, and then I will follow up with another attack from my claws, 17.
That will hit.
With 6. So that is 11 damage as she jumps on this thing, and it's just like, rah! Just like scratching at it with her big wolf claws.
So when she did the transformation, you said she like took off her furs and did the transformation. Did it do like the Sailor Moon transformation where you, or the Kill la Kill transformation where you see her outline like silhouetted in light, but you don't actually see any features?
No, what I imagine it is, it's like as she's pulling them off, it's like she throws fur off, and as she's doing it, it's just fur underneath. You know what I mean?
Oh, gotcha.
It's like if you have a mustache and you're wearing a fake mustache on top of it, and you rip off the fake mustache.
And you rip it off, and then it's, yeah just a mustache. Yeah, she like throws off her furs, and then it just... top half wolf, bottom half, like, fur skirt, runs up and just starts swiping with claws.
Okay, so we're on to another of the whites. This white is the one that was just attacked by Kalesa. This one's going to run up to Kalesa and swipe at you with its claws. That'll be a 13.
That does not hit. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Doesn't hit me either. I'm a 14.
Okay. All right. Another white, the last one, will run up to Tove, who has just rushed forward into the battle. Also swiping with claws. Does a 19 hit?
Frick! By 1, yeah. Well, I guess by 2. By 2. 18 and 19 would hit.
Ah,
yeah.
That was the advantage.
Ah, that's okay. It's okay. I'll accept it. I'll accept it. I think Zach asked this. This isn't piercing or slashing damage, is it?
No, it's poison.
Yes, right. Okay. Oh, shoot. I didn't add my rage modifier to those attacks. That's okay. Next time.
That'd be 8 poison damage coming at you.
Meowch.
All right. And now Rada.
All right. I'm going to run up and stab the nearest white with a pike. I would say whoever's lowest.
Okay.
And I have a reach of 10 feet, so I don't have to be super close to them.
All right.
That is a 19.
That'll hit.
13 piercing damage.
Woo! All right.
Nice.
And then I'm going to action surge, and can I do that again, or do I have to change what I'm doing?
Yeah, you can do it again.
No, you can do the same. You can attack
okay.
again.
Okay. That is a 10.
That will not hit.
Okay. And then on my reaction, who is... Is there anybody... Like, running up to the white, can I run so that I'm next to somebody?
Yeah, you could run up to... Because the one you attacked, the one that was lowest, was the one that... It was the one that Tove had attacked.
Okay, perfect. So when I'm going to run up next to Tove and throw up my shield in front of the two of us. And so that I'm using my reaction to impose disadvantage on attack rolls for that white.
Okay. Now back to the top. Before this next round of combat, you see those four whites that are kind of were in the background, kind of still outside. Kella is still repelling them with some magical attacks, but one does sneak through and is making its way up. It is not quite here yet. It's still a bit of a distance away.
So we have five in the room now.
So the one that got past Kella isn't in this round. It can't quite reach you guys in one round, but it'll be there next round.
But we have five in like the bar room.
No, four.
Four. Still four. Okay, still four. Yeah.
Now we're to Groful.
Can I attack the one that attacked my wife?
Go for it.
And now I'm going to do Reckless Attack, and then I also get, because of the type of, because I'm a Berserker, I can use my bonus action to do an attack, so. And I'll be using Great Weapon Master, so neither of those are going to hit. The first swing misses, the second swing does an 18 hit.
An 18 will hit. What were the first two?
The first one was an 8.
Oh, okay.
So I do... 20 damage.
Nice.
Do you want to describe how you kill this thing?
So it goes in to attack my wife, and I think I just like it's like no precision. It's just like cuts him in half at the waist. You know, it's like this is for cleaving, and that's what he's doing.
When they got married, they said they'd leave and cleave.
You cut this thing in half, and you just turn around. You just like look over to see Tove just like standing there, claws up, like.
Mouth open.
How dare you? That one was mine!
I am winning the count already. See if you can keep up.
All right, the other white that was right there next to the both of you, or I guess all three of you now, is going to take a swipe at the newcomer, Rada, with another claw attack. Does a 15 hit?
Nope.
Okay. We're up to Kalesa.
Okay, so we currently have three in the room right now.
Yep, there's three in the room and one making its way in, but it won't quite make it yet.
Got it. Kalesa is going to clap her hands together, pointing at the doorway, and cast Gust of Wind to each creature in the line 60 feet long. And 10 feet wide, must succeed in a strength saving throw or be pushed 15 feet away from, me in a direction following the line.
Okay. What are you, which, white are you aiming at?
I am aiming. So I assume they're coming through the doorway, right?
Yes.
So, you said there's four behind and then, or.
So there's three of them that are still kind of far out into the field outside the building. Yeah. There's one making its way across that distance between the field and the building.
Okay.
And then there's three still in the building. Or there's three in the building that you're fighting.
Yeah, I'm pushing any of them that are in that 60 feet. I'm pushing back to give us more time to get the ones that are in. Because I assume the three other ones are over by the other three in the group. So I'm giving them more time before we have to deal with the other ones.
Okay.
So basically, I'm just pushing the ones that are still out further.
Okay. And you said a strength save?
Strength save, yes.
Okay. What's your spell save, DC?
14.
Okay, so the one that was running in mm-hmm. fails.
Nice.
One of the ones that was still far out fails. That one fails. And that one fails. They all failed.
Nice!
Just taking them out like bowling pins.
I looked up what my bonus action can do. And I'm not going to do any of those yet. So I'll keep holding my bonus actions. So I'm good.
All right. Tove.
All right, so there's still one that's attacking the three of us, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Tove is going to just leap onto that one and start clawing away with a 22 to hit.
Yes.
And that does, so the first claw attack does 8 damage, and the second claw attack, okay, yeah, so that's a 23 to hit that time. No, I only roll once. I gotta remember how to play my own character. 4 plus 2 is 8. So then 8.
8 more?
Yes.
Alright. Any other movement or bonus action or anything?
Nope. Just still raging and clawing.
Alright.
Did I not kill that one?
Not yet. you guys focus fired one of them down really quick.
If Growful kills that one, we are going to have words, Zach.
So The two whites that are not engaged with Growful, Kalesa, and Tove, or sorry, Growful, Rada, and Tove.
Hey, I would like to point out none of the whites are engaged to me. I'm married to Tove.
But are you married? So those two whites that are in combat with Growful, Tove, and Rada, one of them will join that fight. This one hasn't been hit yet. I don't know if anyone's targeted it or if it missed. I don't remember. But that one is going to rush over to the group of the three of you and take a swipe at Tove.
That is with advantage on me because I was still doing reckless. Okay. I didn't say that, but I am, yeah.
Okay.
Doing reckless raging until I say otherwise, basically. So you're rolling with advantage on me.
17.
Dang! Oh, to hit?
To hit.
That doesn't hit!
Awesome.
Bam, 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 shield! My AC is insane.
Aha! Yeah, they're at a disadvantage to attack Tove too.
Well, that means they equal out, so not double rolling.
Oh, but was that on the specific white or was it on Tove?
Oh, yeah, it was the specific. It was a creature. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
That was a different one. So this one's the one.
The one that you blocked Tove from being hurt by was the one that we murdered deathed really hard.
Yes. Yeah, that was the one that already died.
Well, so this is weird wording. So when a creature you can see attacks a target other than you that is within 5 feet of you, you can use your reaction to impose disadvantage on the attack roll. That's on the creature.
Okay.
So when someone attacks, so like while Tove is being attacked now, you can say disadvantage.
No, you don't have to do it.
Oh, I don't have to declare that.
No, you do it as a reaction. So when Vinny rolls an attack, you say disadvantage.
Okay.
And that's your reaction. So then you couldn't do opportunity attacks or anything else that's a reaction.
Gotcha. Okay. So I can do that now. I'd stated it at the end of my turn previously, but that was wrong.
Right. Yeah. You didn't need to do it on your turn.
Okay. So I can do that now once.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the one. So the white that's attacking now is the one that his. I think that was the one that was that Kalesa hit previously. This one's actually going after Kalesa.
Okay.
That was bad. That's an 8.
Nope. I have 14.
All right. To Rada.
So it got a little bit in my gust of wind.
Yep.
It was like, what?
So, Rada, your turn.
Yes. I'm going to stabby stab with the pike with the other white that's in front of me now, I guess.
Okay.
13.
Misses.
I'm going to action surge and do that again.
Oh, okay.
You have 2. How many action surges do you have?
It's a bonus action.
So. No, you only have it's a finite number. I think you only have 1.
Yeah, there's a limit to how many times you can do it.
Oh, wait, for real? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where would I see that?
It's probably in the description of action surge itself. It probably lists how many you get. Cuz I think it changes based on what level you are.
I'm almost positive you have 1. I'm looking it up right now, but
okay. My bad.
You only have one. You get a second one.
Boo. Okay.
You get a second one at level 17.
17. Wow.
Dang.
All right. It's past my turn.
Okay. So in between, after Rada swings and misses, we see that the one white that was making its way through the field towards the door gets close to the door, but not quite there, thanks to Kalesa's gust of wind. And then you see another one that was back in the group of three make its way up, but still a bit out of range. Growful.
All right, I don't want to actually upset Cody, so I'm going to attack. I'm going to go around and flank the one that's attacking Kalesa.
Okay. So you're leaving the range of the...
Oh, it'll leave the range. If it's leaving the range, I'll go attack the one that's attacking...
Yeah, because Kalesa never moved forward. She stayed back.
Okay. The first one, I got a 13. The second one, I got a 17. And I'm attacking the one that's attacking Tove, then.
Okay, the 17 will hit. The 13 misses, the 17 hits.
That'll be 23.
It is still standing.
Ah, dang it! I did not reckless attack. I just got flanking bonus since, you know... We're right there punching them up.
Just don't get in my gust of wind.
Oh, does that stay up for a while? Or
It stays up for a minute, but honestly, okay. I'm about to do a different spell, so it's going to drop.
Is it a concentration spell?
It is.
It doesn't necessarily drop unless you cast a different concentration spell.
It is.
Okay. So that white that you just stabbed but didn't quite kill is going to attack you back. Were you in reckless stance?
I was not.
Okay. It will miss. That was a 7. Things are not rolling well now. They rolled really well on the first turn, and then not since.
They did a lot of damage to the barbarians.
Kalesa.
Okay, so Kalesa is going to... Her hands were, like, clapped together in front of her to do the gust of wind. She's going to pull them apart and stop the wind, and she's going to reach out her hand, palm up, and, like, raise it to cast Spike Growth. Spike Growth is a casted on the ground, a 20-foot radius centered on a point within range. The 20-foot radius, I want to it's 150 range, and I want the 20 feet to end at the doorway.
Okay.
And it's going to sprout up hard spikes and thorns. When a creature moves into or is moving within the area, it takes 2d4 piercing damage every 5 feet.
Okay, wow. And it's 20-foot radius, you said?
20-foot radius, yeah. So they have
nice.
4 chances. If they're moving all 20 feet, then there's 4 opportunities for them to take damage.
Nice.
Nice. Anything else?
Everyone else doing okay health-wise?
Still 26, huh?
Mostly okay.
Then I'm good.
All right, Tove.
All right, Tove is going to try to kill that one right in front of her. So 21.
Yep.
Yeah. And shoot, I think the second one, the highest I got on the second one was an 11.
The 11 will not hit.
Okay, so first attack then, dang! Does 11 damage.
You kill this one. How do you do it?
So technically this isn't right for what the attack would have been. But she just grabs it and just bites its head off. And just spits the head out. And then is just kind of like awkwardly holding the body and just kind of like... kind of throws it to the side.
All right. We're up to one of the whites. This is the white that is... The last white that is up with Rada, Tove, and Growful. Seeing the last white be destroyed by Tove, this white is going to aim for Tove.
We are tied, wife.
That was a very Kratos sounding voice for that one.
Ooh, yeah, that is a 22.
That doesn't hit. No, my AC is higher than that for this round.
Really?
No.
Oh, it's like, dang.
And actually, that should have been an advantage anyway, right?
Yeah, you might roll a nat 20, you know?
I didn't. You feel some claws rake across your chest as you take 8 more poison damage.
Okay. 25. A little hurt.
All right, now we're up to the white that is up with Kalesa. It's going to take a swipe at Kalesa.
No, don't break my concentration.
That is a 17 to hit.
Dang it. Yeah, that hits.
That'll be 8 poison damage. And I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay, you said 8 damage?
Yep.
Okay, and then constitution... 13.
You make the save. You do not break concentration.
Nice.
And then we're up to Rada.
All right. Stabby stab. Here we go. 23 to the white in front of me.
Yeah, that'll hit.
10 piercing damage.
All right. Anything else? Any movement or bonus?
Nope. I've got my shield.
All right.
It's just me and Tove together and Colette.
And me.
Yeah, me, Tove, and Gruffle. Yeah, me, Tove, and Gruffle.
Yep. So as this round ends, you see those whites that are off in the field start moving closer, and the one white that was almost to the door but got pushed back by the wall of wind makes it to the door, but then you see some black lightning bust across the sky, and it hits the ground right in front of the junction in an eruption of black and violet energy. Emerging from the explosion, you see a bunch of new figures appear. You see a human woman clothed in black with rust-colored hair tied into a braided bun. Her eyes are ablaze with white power as she unleashes a wave of blinding radiant energy, instantly vaporizing the whites in her immediate vicinity. So she just obliterates all of the whites that are outside.
Did she step on my spikes? Do I need to retract my spikes?
As she landed in front of the junction, your spikes were incinerated.
Okay.
With her energy.
Cool.
With an earth-shattering roar, you see a gargoyle, hewn out of jadestone, comes out from behind her. He soars towards the nearest two whites, which are the ones in the building with you guys, and he jumps between them and slices their heads off. So you see a dozen warriors follow in behind them in plate armor fashioned after animals. Their weapons are all sculpted from a glossy black metal, the same as what your weapons are from the vault. They immediately join the fray, cutting down any remaining whites that weren't destroyed by the first two attacks. And in a matter of seconds, all the whites are destroyed.
Hey, we were working on that. We were doing okay, weren't we, gang?
Tove and I were. We tied, but you and... Oh, I can never remember your name. I'm so sorry, Mandy.
My name is Kalesa.
Kalesa. Lessie over there.
I don't understand why this is so hard to remember.
I have, if I were to rank my intelligence on a scale of 1 to 20, I'd say it's about an 8.
As you're talking, you feel Tove, like, wrap her arms around you and pick you up and start kissing you with her horrifying wolf mouth that just, like, slowly transforms back into her mouth. And then she pulls back and slaps you and goes, "Never steal another one of my kills again! Never again! We've talked about this! Never again steal a kill!"
"I will not let you be harmed. Also, if you're too slow to take the kill, that's on you."
She's just like, just slap hands.
So as you guys are talking, Johan will make his way from the back of the room where he was not cowering, but definitely bunkering because he is not a fighter. He approaches you guys.
"Oh, look, it's our ward!"
I'm sorry I had to leave you to fight that battle. I'm not a fighter myself. I would have been destroyed instantly."
"No worries. We were a good wards. We protected you. Like the runes."
"But it's good that they made it in time. I wasn't sure if we'd be able to fend them off. I guess I hadn't had a chance to explain this to you yet. I was going to do that after we ate. But the woman there," and he points to the human woman, that is Sovereign Ashlyn. "And the gargoyle with her is Arbiter Valen. They're the monarchs of this realm."
"Are they looking for someone who could be promoted, like, when they pass on and be their second?"
"She stole several of my kills."
I think it was only one."
It was like a bunch, wasn't it? Like when she landed?"
"Oh, she did. Oh, yes. I mean, I suppose you can think of it that way." And at this point, Ashlyn will approach you and say, "Thank you for your efforts in fending off this threat."
"You're very welcome.
It's our pleasure, m'lady."
"Are you looking for an heir to the throne when you leave this realm for better pastures? I've been trained for this my entire life."
She kind of gives you a smile, but doesn't answer. And the gargoyle, Valen, comes up behind her and starts to say, You comported yourselves with honor. That's Johan's voice. I want to do a different voice.
As she's like not responding, smiling, I turn back and give a thumbs up to the group. Like, it's going well. Like, I think I got this, guys.
The gargoyle Valen will step up beside her and say, "You comported yourselves with honor," and as he's mid sentence, there's a terrible sound. It sounds like a bunch of canvas sheets being ripped apart. And it sounds like it's coming from everywhere. And as you look around, you see cracks of darkness forming in the ground and in the walls and even in the air itself, as if the fabric of reality is being torn. Black shadows flow through like liquid, and before you can even realize what's going on, dozens of creatures begin crawling out. They have crimson veins under gray skin that's stretched over gangly limbs. A vertical seam appears, running through the center of their headless torsos and splits open, turning the entire creature's mass into a gaping maw of wicked teeth. With their long, prehensile tongues hanging so low that they drag along the ground and let out an ear-splitting shriek, and they attack. Roll initiative again.
Ah.
Hey, 15. Not bad.
I got a 6.
10. I also got a 6.
Okay, what is your guys's... What is your dex score?
13.
13.
I will let Grofel go ahead of me. That does not bother me.
Okay. All right. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right. As this battle starts, there's a couple dozen of these creatures. You don't find yourself surrounded. You find yourself kind of squaring off with one creature each. They just target the closest creature in range, and you see all of the other warriors in the room kind of similarly being attacked by these things. So they will actually attack you right after their turn. I'm basically going to do it kind of like we do in Powered by the Apocalypse, is you attack them, they attack back.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that'll be easier. All right, so we start with Tove.
Okay. So, like, as this monster runs up to her, she's just like, turns right back into a wolf. And I think she's, like, specifically just tearing at the tongue, because that freaks me out. And I'm still reckless here, so you're getting advantage on me. So, 17 to hit?
Where did I put that? Yeah, 17 will hit.
Okay. Nat 20?
Yeah, that'll hit. I mean, that'll crit.
That is a total of 17 damage.
Okay, you one-shot this thing that is in front of you.
Dang!
as soon as you do, another one crawls up to fight with you. But since you killed it, you don't get attacked this turn.
Okay.
Any other bonus or anything?
No, that's all I got. That's all I got.
All right. Rada.
All right. I square up with this horrifying monstrosity. And stabby stab at the pike. That will be 22.
Yeah, that'll hit.
9 piercing.
All right. You don't quite kill the one in front of you, and it will then try to attack you back. It'll try to attack you back with its tongue tentacles.
Ugh.
It basically lashes out at you with its prehensile tongue.
So it just gives me a giant wet willy.
And it, I don't know, that's a 5. That was bad.
So it does.
It's a bad roll.
Cool. Stay away.
Grofel.
Oh, sorry, that was me. Grofel. I'm really tired. I'm sorry. I'm attacking. I am raging and reckless attacking. Does a 7 hit?
7 does not hit.
All right. You get advantage on me, though, if it makes you feel better.
But 7 was with advantage?
Yep. I rolled a 4 and a 7.
Oof. Wow. Kalesa. Oh, no, sorry, I get to attack you back. I forgot to do that.
With advantage. Come at me, bro.
Wow, these things are rolling really... I've been rolling really bad for these recently, which is good for you guys. That is an 8.
That will surprisingly hit. I'm just kidding, not misses.
All right, Kalesa, you've got one of these terrible monsters right in your face.
Yeah. Sorry, I kind of decided at the last second that I was going to... I'm going to shapeshift. I feel like bear is usually a pretty good... got pretty good stats usually. Kalesa is going to shape into a brown bear. And bear makes 2 attacks, 1 with bite and 1 with claws. Does that count for me? Can I do that, claws and bite, or do I just pick one of those?
No, you can do both.
Okay.
If it says on your attack action you do both, then yeah. That is one of the benefits of Wild Shape, is you sometimes get multi-attack when you don't normally get it.
Yes. Okay. So I do get to do both of those. Let's do the bite first. That is not great. That is a 13.
Will not hit.
Not hit. Okay. Then she's going to try to claw it. Ooh, that's much better. That is a 25.
Oh, yeah. That'll hit.
Okay. D6. Where are my D6s? 5. 6, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's 15 damage coming from her claws.
You one-shot this thing that's in front of you.
Heck yes.
You just scrape across it with your claws and tear it apart. And like what with what happened with Tove, as soon as you do, another one crawls up next to you, but you don't get attacked.
Can we do like a claw 5? Like...
We fist bump.
Paw bump.
Paw bump.
So, like, forgetting that druids can shapeshift, I'm like, man, my thing where it's like, oh, you're jealous of Tove is just like even more thing where it's like, oh, she turns into a wolf and has a family that loves her, and you're like, I turn into all the animals, and my mom was just not nice.
Look, it's something she has to work through, okay?
No, it's great. I just, like, layers, you know? It's that thing where it's like, I accidentally added a lot of depth when I'm like, oh, this will be
you
a funny...
You stumbled backwards into quite a deep pit of character development.
Exactly.
What it is you found it. You found what she has to deal with in the afterlife.
I have nothing to deal with. Oh, crap. Now, Gorful, on the other hand, has nothing. He's great, perfect, no notes.
So as you look around the battlefield, you see that all of the other soldiers and the two monarchs are also fighting these things off, and they managed to kill quite a number of them as four of them go down.
Can I roll perception to see if there's an end to these, or is this like we're missing something?
So these things are different than the things you fought first.
Right. No.
These are even more horrifying. You do see, this is something I should have mentioned, you do see that Sovereign Ashlyn, the human-looking woman that was introduced to you as the Sovereign, she is kind of she's both trying to kill these things as well as sealing up the rifts that they came from. You don't necessarily see any more coming through yet, and you think that Ashlyn may be preventing that.
Okay, gotcha.
She's like sealing the rifts up as fast as, like, trying to...
And none of them are immediately attacking her right now? Like, she doesn't need backup?
No.
Okay, cool.
She is managing on her own pretty well. It's just that there are a lot of these things.
Okay, so 17 or 18.
18 will hit.
Nat 20!
Woo!
Crit.
So first attack does 9 damage, second attack does 10 damage, so 19 damage total.
Once again, you one-shot this one in front of you.
Dang!
She just grabs its tongue, pulls it out, and shoves her hand in its neck, and pulls out its, like, pulls out a chunk of its spine.
That's pretty metal. I think I would call that both metal and badass. And like before, once you kill this one, another one scurries up to you, but you don't get attacked. Rada, you're still squaring off against the one you fought last round. What do you do?
Stabby stab. That is 24.
Yeah, that'll hit.
All right. 13 piercing.
Yep.
So what she does is stab her pike into the end of the tongue and then, like, twirl it like spaghetti.
And yeah, you do manage to kill this
one. How is that worse than what I said? Oh, I hate that.
And same thing as before. Once you kill one, I'm gonna stop saying it. Another one comes up to you. That's gonna keep happening.
Gotcha. Until the rift is sealed.
Yep. Growful.
Hey, that's me again. I am going to attack recklessly, one might say. Oh my gosh, jeez, that first attack missed because I got an 8. 19.
Nice.
That will hit.
Will a 20 kill it?
20 will kill it. Yeah.
I started slow, but I'm catching up, love.
Oh, this is the first one you've killed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Kalesa.
Kalesa's going to do the same thing to her next one. Multi-attack. So, she going to bite. 21.
Yep.
And claws, not near as good as 11.
No, that will not hit.
All right, so this time... she goes in for the jugular. She goes for the jugular, 9 piercing damage.
Okay, you don't manage to kill this one, so it is going to hit you back. Yeah, that'll be a... Where did I put that? That is a 21.
Oh, that hits.
And like you might have seen in a previous attack that missed earlier, it is trying to hit you with its prehensile tongue, and this one does actually manage to land, so you will take 3 piercing damage and 1 acid damage.
Ooh.
Okay.
As the tongue is coated, the tongue kind of oozes this like steaming acid.
Bleh. So 4 total?
Yes.
Okay.
I might have made that too low. Whatever. All right. At the end of the round, you see more fighting around the room as... Wow. 5 more of these are destroyed. And you're noticing that they're looking pretty thin now. There's not many of these left. You see Sovereign Ashlyn has managed to seal up most of the refs, but there's still a few that she hasn't quite managed to get sealed yet. Tove.
All right. Oh, no. Okay, we're just going to re-roll it. It wasn't on my desk, even if it was a good roll. Ooh, that's not so good. First claw attack is only a 12 to hit.
No, that will not.
Second claw attack is a 22 to hit.
Yes.
All right. Rolls off the desk don't count, even if they're really good. Ah, that hurts. 4.
4 damage?
Really strong 4 damage.
You don't manage to kill this one this time, so it will actually hit you back. Were you reckless?
I was reckless, yes.
Okay. That'll be a 19 to hit you with its tongue.
19 hits, but I do half the piercing damage.
Okay.
I dropped a die.
I don't know where that die went. So I'll just roll this one twice. So that'll be 2 piercing damage.
Nope.
And 3 acid damage. So it was 2 piercing before your resistance, so 1 plus...
So 4.
Yeah, so 4 total. All right. Rada.
All right. New one. Who wants to get turned into spaghetti? That is 16.
16 will hit.
12 piercing damage.
You almost take this thing down. Not quite. It is still just barely standing.
Dang it!
So it is going to try to attack you back with its tongue.
All right.
That'll be a 15.
Roll for French kiss.
So I take 15 damage?
No, does a 15 hit?
Oh, no. Sorry. 15 does not hit.
Okay.
Safe.
Growful.
Yay, it's me again, recklessly attacking into the breach. I'm assuming an 18 hits?
Yes, an 18 will hit. I cannot find that die I dropped.
21.
Oh yeah, that'll hit.
As the next one comes up, because another one crawls up, right?
Hang on.
Oh, I'm so mad!
So, you still had a full health one in front of you. How much did I assume it's more than...
I did 21.
Oh, that was 21 damage.
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was 21 to hit. Okay.
No, 21 damage.
Okay. Yep. You cleave this thing, and another one crawls up to you.
Then I'm going to use my bonus action to do my second attack.
All right.
Does a 14 hit?
14 does not hit.
No! I was so close!
Kalesa.
Yep. I'm doing the same thing. I figure I'm still, like, chomped down on... his jugular, it's jugular right now, so bite. 17.
Yep.
And I did not hit with the claws. So as it like gets her with its tongue attack, she was still hanging on to its neck and just like bites down harder on it for 11 damage.
Yep, you managed to tear a chunk out of this thing and it dies.
I imagine it's like Bombadil with one of his toys when he just like shakes it.
Yeah, it's kind of ripping and tearing, pulling.
Then drops it.
All right, so at this point, you guys have the last few are in front of you. Those are the only ones left. All you look around and all of the others have been destroyed. So just the only ones that are left are in front of you, and I'm not going to make you roll through that last round. With your help, with all the other soldiers' help around, you guys can easily... dispatch these last few monsters.
Cody, I do love how we tied again.
Did you actually tie again?
Yep, we both killed... Well, technically, we both would have killed 3 with the last round.
Right.
Since this is a one shot and we're finishing this up, Kalesa is going to cast Healing Spirit, and everybody gets a d6 of hit points back.
Thank you.
I got 5 health back. Yay.
I'm almost full.
I got 6 health back.
Yeah, everyone feels a little bit better.
Do you guys have any last RP before I do the ending stuff?
Go for it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. So once the battle wraps up, you see the gargoyle Valen and the human Ashlyn, the arbiter and the sovereign, approach you, and Johan kind of rushes up to your side again. And Valen asks, "Are these the newest arrivals to the crossing?" Johan nods and says, "We're lucky they got here when they did." Ashlyn takes a look at all of you and says, "Lucky indeed, especially given all of this excitement." Johan bows. "That's not even the half of it, my sovereign. I've been seeing strange things out in the Ashen Fields. Things that probably shouldn't be happening." In the distance, you hear a crash of thunder roll across the sky, and above you, there's a massive vortex in the sky, similar to the vortex you saw when you, that we saw in the opening scene as souls poured out of it. And you see thousands and thousands of souls rain down on the Sunless Crossing. "That, definitely shouldn't be happening." And that's where we end.
To find out what happens next, back Black Ballad on, I think it's on BackerKit, not Patreon, or not Patreon.
It is on BackerKit. This should be getting out before the end, I believe the end of March of 2023, for those of you listening in the future. Their campaign is ending, but we hope you guys enjoyed this little bit of the beginning of the Black Ballad campaign. Since I know we probably won't want to do this later, anybody will have some last minute thoughts, feelings?
So there's a few things I wanted to mention about it.
Please.
I don't know how much of you kept in the recording after editing, but the way it's written, it's meant for a high level party. It's meant for, like, not necessarily level 20 characters, but higher level. And since we didn't have an existing party to bring in, like a high level party, we rolled up lower level parties because that's easier to deal with. And so all the encounters had to be scaled down. And they do have suggestions for how to scale the encounters down, but that is something to note, that the monsters you fought and the whirlwind, they all had even more abilities that I didn't bring in because it would have just been too much.
And it's spoilers for the backing.
Oh, exactly. Honestly, that's, I think, great, because that means we're giving you guys much less spoilers if you are interested in Black Ballad.
And there is one piece of, like, setup of, like, campaign setup that I didn't do that I wanted to address. One thing that the storyteller, what the module calls the game master, GM, dungeon master, whatever you want to call it, they call it the storyteller. You're supposed to have each character write a last will and testament. Basically, every character needs to have a will that is theoretically discovered on their body after they died. And none of the mechanics came up in this arc, but there are, and I don't want to spoil what those mechanics are. It does list them a little bit of details in the demo packet, but there are mechanics for what happens with that will and what things are mentioned in it and who the things are gifted to. Like, there are mechanics for that. So I didn't have our characters roll that because it wasn't going to come up, but that is a thing that you can kind of play around with, is if characters list something in their will, it might be important later.
I had fun. I liked it. I think it was, I'm interested in kind of where the story goes.
Right.
Yeah. This little intro demo packet definitely has, like, left some hooks that sounds like some interesting stuff could be happening in this world, and I would be interested to see where it goes.
Right, and, like, I know that's the point of a demo kit, you know, like, they're trying to hook you in, but I'm like, well, they did it, like, I'm interested.
Did you decide to make the skeleton kind of a little bit of a dandy, or was that how he was described in the module?
So, the dialogue that was listed in the demo packet, that joke about him being named Johan Marrow, and he makes the joke about, yes, like, bone marrow, that was in the script. And so I took from that, like, kind of joking, kind of playful, almost in contrast to the setting of where they are. Like, I think that there's that kind of, they're using that contrast of, yes, you've died, you're in this grim place, and then you eventually fight these horrific monsters. But the characters you interact with are jovial, because this is their existence.
Right.
They're not, they don't see this as unusual. This is just their, not life, but this is their existence now. And so I kind of figured he would come into you've died with a bit of joviality and kind of lightheartedness to kind of help set the newcomers at ease.
That is one thing that I read in their demo packet. They do say that, like, obviously these are pretty heavy topics if that's something you actually want to, like, role play through. We're probably a little bit more comedic than the general tone suggests, partially because this is a one shot and partially because it's late and we're trying to record this and have a good time. But they do say that, like, when you're dealing with heavy topics, having the jokes and being, like, having that lightheartedness is a good way to not have it just be heavy all the time. So I'm sure that's part of the reason that they wrote it that way, or at least it seems to be.
Yeah, and, like, looking back on the scenes we did with the Atonement Grove, where we had the players do the scene for one of the other players, it's like, it was kind of comedic and kind of silly. But some of the stuff we talked about in there was kind of heavy. So it's like, you can have both. You can have the heavy, grim stuff along with some comedy.
I'll say that, like, for most of us, we only, like, glanced through it beforehand. So all things that happened were just kind of, like, weird coincidences. Mm-hmm. Like, me, like, being like, oh, these are the kings of the area. I'm like, oh, great, I can be second in command again.
Big thanks to Black Ballad for reaching out to us. We hope you enjoy this little taste of their new setting.
Until next time, everybody, keep wandering.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to our actual play of The Black Ballad. The music at the beginning and the end of this episode is track 4, Ashes and Sorrow from the Red Opera, the music behind the Black Ballad campaign. All of the other music is credited in the description. If you're interested, please use the links below to check out their fundraising campaign. We're so thankful that they reached out to us to partner with them, and we're excited to see the full book once it's out. As for us, you can follow us on all of our social media links in the description, and if you're able, we'd love to hear what you think with reviews and comments. Until next time, our journey begins where yours ends.